Now we will continue our discussion of sign measures and of positive and negative variation of a sign measure. So we have the following theorem. Let F be integrable with respect to the measure space, a capital Roman X, capital script X mu, and let lambda be defined by lambda of E equals the integral over E of F. So we've seen that idea many times before. Let lambda plus, lambda minus, and absolute lambda be given for E and X by lambda plus of E is the integral over E of F plus d mu, lambda minus of E is the integral over E of F minus d mu, and absolute lambda of E is the integral over E of absolute F d mu. Here, of course, F plus is the positive part of the function of F, F minus is the negative part of the function F, and you know what absolute value of F is. So this is in the case that your measure is given by integration against a function, this tells you how to easily recognize the positive part of the measure, the negative part of the measure, and the absolute value of the measure. Not a big surprise. Proof is simple and short. Let capital P sub F be the set of all X at capital Roman X, where F at X is bigger than or equal to 0, and let capital N sub F equal to the set of all X in capital Roman X, where F at X is less than or equal to 0. Then, of course, capital X is P sub F union N sub F, and P sub F union N sub F is the null set for lambda. If E is an element of the sigma algebra, then clearly lambda of E intersect PF is bigger than or equal to 0, and lambda of E intersect NF is less than 0, less than or equal to 0. And hence, PF NF is a Hahn decomposition for lambda. The result now follows. And now we're leading up to something called the Radon-Nikodym theorem, which is one of the big theorems of measure theory. So definition, let lambda mu be measures on a sigma algebra capital script X. We say that lambda is absolutely continuous with respect to mu. If whenever E is in the sigma algebra and mu of E is equal to 0, then lambda of E is equal to 0. We write lambda double less than mu. So lambda is absolutely continuous with respect to mu if lambda annihilates any set that mu annihilates. Lemma, let capital script X be a sigma algebra, lambda mu be finite measures on X, then lambda is absolutely continuous with respect to mu if and only if for each epsilon bigger than 0. There is a delta bigger than 0 set, so that if E is in the sigma algebra and mu of E is less than delta, then lambda of E is less than epsilon. So this is an epsilon delta version of absolute continuity. It's sort of reminiscent of our very early calculus studies of continuity of functions. Proof, suppose that the condition at the end of the second sentence is satisfied. If mu of f equals 0, then epsilon is bigger than, and let epsilon be bigger than 0. Then there is a delta bigger than 0 such that mu of e less than delta implies lambda of e is less than epsilon. So certainly lambda of F is less than epsilon. Since this is true for every epsilon bigger than 0, we see that lambda F equals 0, hence lambda is absolutely continuous with respect to mu. Conversely, suppose there is an epsilon bigger than 0 and sets EJ in the sigma algebra so that mu of EJ is less than 2 to the minus J and lambda of EJ is bigger than or equal to epsilon. So we're seeking a contradiction here. Let fj be the union from k equals j to infinity of ek so that mu of fj is less than or equal to 2 to the minus j plus 1, and lambda fj is bigger than or equal to epsilon. Since fj is a decreasing sequence of measurable sets, just by its very definition, we see that mu of the intersection of the fj's is the limit as j goes to infinity of mu of fj is 0, and lambda of the intersection of the fj's is the limit as j goes to infinity of lambda of fj is bigger than or equal to epsilon. So lambda is not absolutely continuous with respect to mu, and that's the contradiction that we seek. And here's the big theorem, the Radon-Nikodym theorem. Let lambda and mu be sigma finite measures defined on a sigma algebra capital Roman X, sorry, capital script X. Suppose that lambda is absolutely continuous with respect to mu. Then there is a measurable function f on X so that lambda e is the integral over e of f d mu for all e in the sigma algebra. The function f is uniquely determined almost everywhere. We denote f by d lambda d mu and call it the Radon-Nikodym derivative of lambda with respect to mu. So this is a very nice structure theorem for absolute continuity. It says that lambda is absolutely continuous with respect to mu. Then lambda is given by integration against a function with respect to mu. So this relates a number of ideas that we've learned about up till now. So here's the proof of the Radon-Nikodym theorem. We shall first prove the result under the additional hypothesis that lambda and mu are finite measures. Let C be a positive number. Let P of C and N of C be a Hondy composition of X for the sine measure lambda minus C mu. If J is a natural number, then consider the measurable sets A1, which is N of C. AJ plus 1 is N of J plus 1 C. Take away the union from L equal 1 to J of A sub L. Clearly, the sets AJ for J a natural number are pairwise disjoint by their very construction. If you just look at the definition of AJ plus 1, you'll see that this is true. And moreover, the union from J equal 1 to K of N of JC is the union from J equals 1 to K of AJ. So we've, in effect, disjointified the AJs. It follows that AJ is N of J, JC, take away the union from L equal 1, J minus 1 of L of LC, N of LC, which is N of JC intersect, the intersection from L equal 1 to J minus 1 of P of LC, because of course P is the complement of N. As a result, if E is a measurable subset of AJ, then E is a subset of NJC, and E is a subset of P of J minus 1C. Therefore, J minus 1 times C times mu of E is less than or equal to lambda of E, which is less than or equal to J times C times mu of E. Let's define capital B to be X, take away the union from J equal 1 to infinity of AJ, which is the intersection from J equal 1 to infinity of P of JC. Therefore, B is a subset of P of JC for all J in the natural numbers, and this tells us that 0 is less than or equal to J times C times mu of B, less than or equal to lambda of B, less than or equal to lambda of X, which is finite for all J in the natural numbers. Therefore, it must be that mu of B is 0, as you can see, because we have a JC, mu of B is less than or equal to infinity for every J, so mu of B must be 0. And therefore, lambda of B is 0. Now let F sub C be defined by F sub C of X is equal to J minus 1 times C if X is in AJ and 0 if X is in B. If capital E is any measurable set, then capital E is the union of the pairwise disjoint sets E intersect B and E intersect AJ for J a natural number. And therefore, we have that the integral over E of F sub C is less than or equal to lambda of E is less than or equal to integral over E of FC plus C, which is less than or equal to integral over E of FC plus C times the measure of X. That's a pretty obvious estimate. We next employ the preceding construction with C equal 2 to the minus J for J a natural number to obtain a sequence of functions FJ. And therefore, we have the integral over E of Fj d mu is less than or equal to lambda of E less than or equal to the integral over E of Fj d mu plus 2 to the minus j mu of x for all j in the natural numbers. If k is bigger than or equal to j, then notice that the integral over E of Fj is less than or equal to lambda of E less than or equal to the integral over E of Fk plus 2 to the minus k mu of x, and the integral over E of f k d mu less than or equal to lambda v less than or equal to integral over E f j d mu plus 2 to the minus j mu of x. So those are just the same statement with the roles of j and k reversed. Putting the two together with subtraction, we get the absolute value of the integral over E of f j minus f k d mu less than 2 to the minus j plus 1 mu of x for all E in the sigma algebra. If we let E range over all sets where the integrand is positive or negative and combine all of these, we obtain that the integral of absolute Fj minus Fk is less than or equal to 2 to the minus J plus 2 mu of X whenever K is bigger than or equal to J. Thus, Fj converges in mean to a function F. By convergence in mean, we mean converges in the L1 norm. Since the Fj are non-negative, we may conclude that F is non-negative. Furthermore, the absolute value of the integral over e of fj minus the integral over e of f is less than or equal to the integral of absolute fj minus f, that's obvious, less than or equal to the integral over all of space of absolute fg minus f. So we may conclude from the above that lambda of e is the limit as j goes to infinity integral over e fj, which is the integral over e of f for all e in the sigma algebra. This completes the proof of the existence assertion of the theorem in the special case when lambda and mu are finite measures. And for the uniqueness, notice that lambda of e is the integral over e of f1, which is the integral over e of f2, and therefore the integral over e of f1 minus f2 is 0 for every e in the sigma algebra, and therefore f1 equals f2 almost everywhere. We will omit the proof of the more general case, but you can look at Bartle's book to see the details for the sigma finite case, and do the same for the uniqueness part of the theorem. And that's it for Radon-Nikodym, but we'll discuss it a little bit more. The function f whose existence is established in the theorem is usually called the Radon-Nikodym derivative of lambda with respect to mu, and is denoted by d lambda d mu. The function f is not necessarily integrable unless lambda is finite. We've seen that a measure lambda is absolutely continuous with respect to a measure mu when the sets which have small mu measure also have small lambda measure. The dialectic opposite of absolutely continuous is singular. And we'll define that right now. Two measures lambda and mu on a sigma algebra X on a set capital Roman X are said to be mutually singular if there are disjoint sets A and B in the sigma algebra so that X is equal to A union B, lambda A equals mu of B equals 0. In these circumstances, we'll write lambda perpendicular mu. So two measures are mutually singular if they, in effect, live on disjoint sets. Although this definition is plainly symmetric in lambda and mu, it is common to say that lambda is singular with respect to mu, and we will do so. And now we have the Lebesgue decomposition theorem. Let lambda and mu be sigma finite measures defined on a sigma algebra. Then there exists a measure lambda 1, which is singular with respect to mu, and another measure lambda 2, which is absolutely continuous with respect to mu, so that lambda is equal to lambda 1 plus lambda 2. The measures lambda 1 and lambda 2 are unique. So this combines all the ideas we've been learning so far to tell you that you can decompose a measure lambda in terms of a piece which is singular with respect to mu and a piece which is absolutely continuous with respect to mu. Very nice. And we'll conclude with a proof here. Let nu be lambda plus mu. Thus, nu is a sigma finite measure. Since lambda and mu are both absolutely continuous with respect to nu, the Radon-Nikodym theorem tells us that there are non-negative measurable functions f and g, so that lambda of e is equal to the integral over e of f d nu, and mu of e is the integral over e of g d nu for all e in the sigma algebra. Let A, capital A, be the set of all x where g of x is 0, and let B be the set of x where g of x is bigger than 0. We see immediately that A intersect B is empty, and x is equal to A union B, and therefore A and B are the two sets that we seek. Now, if E is in the sigma algebra, let lambda 1 of E be lambda of E intersect A, and lambda 2 equals E intersect B. Because mu of A is 0, we see that lambda 1 is singular with respect to mu. To understand that lambda 2 is absolutely continuous with respect to mu, notice that if mu of E is 0, then the integral over E of G d nu is 0. Thus, G of X is 0 for nu almost every X in E. And hence, nu of E intersect B is 0. Since lambda is absolutely continuous with respect to nu, lambda 2 of E is equal to lambda of E intersect B equals 0. Clearly, lambda is equal to lambda 1 plus lambda 2, so we have the required decomposition. For the uniqueness, notice that if alpha is a measure such that alpha is absolutely continuous with respect to mu, and if alpha is singular with respect to mu also, then it must be that alpha is 0. Also, have a look at exercise 7 in the book at the end of this chapter. And that's the end of today's lecture. Thank you.